ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 18, Chapter entitled Parikshit Cursed by a Brahmana Boy, Text Number 48. Tiraskrita, Vipralabdha, Shapta, Shipta, Hata, Abhi, Nasya, Tat. Pratikurvanti Tadbhakta Prabhavo Pi Hi Tiraskrita Vipralabdha Shabdakshita Hata Api Nasyatat Pratikurvanti Tadbhakta Prabhavopihi Tiraskrita Vipralabdha Shapta Kshipta Hata Api Nasyatat Pratikurvanti Tadbhakta Prabhavopihi Tiraskrita Vipralabdha Shapta Shipta Hatapi Nashatat Pratikurvanti Tadbhakta Prabhavopihi Tirakrita Being defamed. Vipralabdha, being cheated. Shapta, being cursed. Kshipta, disturbed by negligence. Hata, or even being killed. Api, also. Na, never. Asya, for all these acts. Tat, them. Pratikurvanti, counteract. Tat, the Lord's. Bhakta, devotee. Prabhava, powerful. Api, although. He, certainly. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The devotees of the Lord are so forbearing that even though they are defamed, cheated, cursed, disturbed, neglected, or even killed, they are never inclined to avenge themselves. Translation responsibly. The devotees of the Lord are so forbearing. That even though they are defamed, cheated, cursed, disturbed, neglected, or even killed, they are never inclined to avenge themselves. Purport. Rishi Shamika also knew that the Lord does not forgive a person who has committed an offense at the feet of a devotee. The Lord can only give direction to take shelter of the devotee. He thought within himself that if Maharaj Parikshit would counter-curse the boy, he might be saved. But he knew also that the pure devotee is callous about worldly advantages or reverses. As such, the devotees are never inclined to counteract personal defamation, curses, negligence, etc. As far as such things are concerned, in personal affairs, the devotees do not care for them. But in the case of being performed against the Lord and his devotees, then the devotees take very strong action. It was a personal affair, and therefore Shamika, Rishi, knew that the king would not take counter-action. Thus there was no alternative than to place an appeal to the Lord for the immature boy. It is not that only the Brahmanas are powerful enough to award curses or blessings upon these subordinates. The devotee of the Lord, even though he may not be a Brahmana, is more powerful than a Brahmana. But a powerful devotee never misuses the power for personal benefit. Whatever power the devotee may have is always utilized in service towards the Lord and his devotees only. Omigyan Tivanandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militamyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Dhammaya Tadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Petitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. So, as we said last week, one of the main lessons which the Srimad Bhagavatam is teaching us is to avoid Vaishnava Bharat, or offending devotees of Krishna. So the Srimad Bhagavatam is a personality. It is stated in the very beginning of the Bhagavatam in the 18th verse of the second chapter of the first canto, Nashta Prayesh Vabhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. So the Bhagavatam is a Bhagavat. A Bhagavat means a personality. It means a person. Only a person can reciprocate with you. Something impersonal cannot reciprocate. But the Bhagavatam is a person, it reciprocates like that. When you read and when you study the Bhagavatam, it speaks to you personally. Many of us experience that. Like, we come to Bhagavatam classes and we feel like the speaker, because the Bhagavatam is speaking through the speaker, so to speak. So we feel that the person is directly speaking to me. Did you ever have that experience? You come to the class and you feel like it's you who is being spoken to. All the anattas that are in your heart, they are being revealed and addressed. And you feel, I hope all the devotees don't realize this is all about me. It's all being spoken about me. So, when the Bhagavatam is being spoken, and if you read in the Nectar of Devotion, or in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, if you read the 64 qualities of Krishna, one of his qualities is genius. Krishna is a genius. What is the definition of a genius? Prabhupada explains, a genius is a person who can perform one task, and then with that one task he can simultaneously accomplish many things. With one, he does one thing, and many things are simultaneously accomplished. That's a genius. Or he can do simultaneously, he can do many things at once. And with those many things he's doing, he can achieve many more things. That's a genius. So Krishna is a genius. So the Bhagavatam is a genius because the Bhagavatam is Krishna. It is non-different from Krishna. This is explained in the third chapter of the first canto, that the Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna. So it is explained that when you are reading the Bhagavatam is speaking to you. So simultaneously, all of us can feel exactly the same at once. We can all feel that Krishna is directly entering our hearts and he is revealing our shortcomings. Why? Because he wants to purify our heart. Because if the heart is not pure, Krishna cannot sit there. Krishna can only enter into a heart that is pure. So that is the purpose of hearing the Bhagavatam. You hear the Bhagavatam, why? So the heart becomes purified, so that Krishna can enter and sit on the throne of your heart. Hands up if you want Krishna to sit in your heart. Okay, 99% of the audience. So if you want Krishna to sit in your heart, then you have to purify your heart. What is the process? The process is hearing the Bhagavatam, because it is a personality. So Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. We're hearing in this particular part of the Bhagavatam about Vaishnava Aparad. It's one of the important themes. It is mentioned again and again and again throughout the Bhagavatam. You have to be very careful about not offending devotees. Now, you see here, there are different ways to offend devotees. And actually 6 ways are given here in this particular verse of the Bhagavatam. And there is also a list which is given, which is quoted by the Acharyas, of 6 ways to offend devotees. I can't remember all of them perfectly. But I was mentioning last week, if you see a devotee, don't smile when you see a devotee. That's an aparad. Small aparad, but it's an aparad. Now, you see a devotee, right, and you're not happy to see that devotee. And if that devotee feels some pain in the heart, then some offence has been committed. It's a small offence, but there's an offence that's been committed. If you talk unpleasantly, unnecessarily to a devotee, sometimes you have to speak unpleasantly to a devotee. It is the duty, actually, of the senior devotees to correct the junior devotees sometimes. If they don't correct them when it is necessary for them to be corrected, actually they are neglecting their duty. So sometimes the senior devotees have to speak strongly to us to wake us up, because half the time we're asleep doing our service. We don't do our service properly. So sometimes these senior devotees have to speak a little forcefully in order to wake us up and bring us back to be attentive in our service. So, but generally we should not speak harshly towards devotees, generally. And different things. And then, obviously the strongest offence is to physically harm a devotee. That's the worst offence. Actually, the worst is to kill a devotee. That's the worst offence. So it is said, there are different offences. But here, there is a list of 6 things which we should avoid. One is that we should not defame devotees. Why do we defame devotees? Yeah, because in our heart, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, when you're cultivating the bhakti lata, Brahmanda, Brahmite, Kona, Bhagyavana, Jiva, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai, Bhakti Lata, Bija. The Bija, Bija means a seed. The seed is in our heart already. We already have Krishna Prem, Nityasiddha, Krishna Prem. It is already in our heart. Sometimes there's this discussion, did we originally come from Krishna or did we come from somewhere else? But I've been watching this week with rapt attention, Srila Prabhupada, following in the footsteps. Yadavara Prabhu made these DVDs, have you seen them? Following in the footsteps. All of Prabhupada's footage, all of it, all the video footage of Prabhupada, goes for 11 volumes. Hours and hours and hours and hours. And then the devotees, Prabhupada's disciples, they speak over the top of the footage. And they say, oh, this was going on, that was going on, this was going on. So I've been watching it this week in my isolation, in my bhajan kutia. So I go into my bhajan kutia with my solar power and I put on my DVD player and I watch Srila Prabhupada, just me and Prabhupada. Good thing about just being alone with Prabhupada is then you don't have anyone to annoy you. Prabhupada doesn't annoy you. Everyone else in the world, somehow or other, we tend to annoy each other. Like that. But Prabhupada is nothing. It's all very simple because it's all purely about Krishna. So I've been watching Prabhupada and associating with him. And then Prabhupada clearly said, I was watching this week, Prabhupada clearly said, we were with Krishna originally. He said, we were with Krishna, and then we left Krishna. He said, we were with Krishna. So originally we were with Krishna, like that. But now, somehow or other, we have come away from Krishna. So that bij, that seed is in the heart. That love for Krishna is in the heart. And by the association of devotees, of the spiritual master and the devotees, that seed becomes watered and it becomes a bhakti lata. Bhakti lata means a creeper, a vine, which goes back to Goloka Vrindavan. So while it's going back, many weeds grow along with the creeper. Just like when you grow something, like at the farm, if we're growing something, weeds come and grow next to it, next to the creeper. Right? And they take the energy of the creeper. So sometimes we are watering the creeper by Shravanam Kirtanam Jal, by the water of hearing and chanting about Krishna. We are watering the creeper of devotion, but simultaneously you're also watering certain weeds. And sometimes you think, I'm actually watering the creeper, but actually you're watering the weeds. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, of all the weeds, which one is the strongest? All the weeds that come up in our heart. Yeah, pride. It's called pratishta. Pratishta means the desire for recognition, to be recognized by others. This is the strongest. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, that is the hardest one to pull out. Or the other way of looking at it is, we don't want to pull it out. Right? And we'd like to hide it. Who is falling asleep at the back of the Bhagavatam class? Don't fall asleep. And if you're tired, then you stand up. Don't fall asleep. Not that. It's an offense to the Bhagavatam if you fall asleep while Bhagavatam is being recited. So it is... what was that point I was just making? Pratishta. I'm just trying to think. I was just making a particular. What's that? Yeah, that's right. So we don't want to pull out like that. So in English, there is a saying that sometimes pride borrows the cloak of humility. Right? So we put the cloak of humility on. Like we put a cloak on like that. So externally, we're very humble. Right. We come around to all the devotees and we're Mr. Humility or Miss Humility. Right. And we're very humble to everyone, very like that. But inside it's all pride. We want recognition. We want to be recognized by other devotees. We want to be separate or above or superior to or distinct from other devotees. So that is pratishta. All of us have that. Hands up if you don't have it. Hands up if you don't have any pride, any pratishta, any desire for recognition. All of us have it like that. It is there. That's why we're in the material world. Very difficult, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, to pull out. But we don't want to pull it out. We act like, oh, we're very humble and everything. And everyone, even many devotees think, oh, we're very humble and everything. But actually, deep within the heart, there's so much desire for recognition. It's about us. It's not about Krishna. Until it's about Krishna, you don't go back to the spiritual world. You might be doing so much service, you might have thousands of disciples, you might be an empowered preacher of Krishna consciousness, but if it's still about you, you don't go back to the spiritual world, you don't transcend. When things become about Krishna purely, that's when you transcend. And you see Srila Prabhupada, even though he was the most powerful of all the Vaishnavas, Prabhupada was the most powerful of all the Vaishnavas, right? Following from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, but there was no desire for recognition for himself. In other words, Srila Prabhupada always gave the credit to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So I was watching the videos during the week, and Prabhupada says something at one point about Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. My Guru Maharaj, he said. I can't remember which point it was, but devotee said something, and then Prabhupada said, my Guru Maharaj. That was his attitude. He was focused on pleasing his spiritual master, on serving his spiritual master. So, why do we defame other devotees? Because we want to be recognized. So we defame others. We do it very subtly. We're very expert. One of the 26 qualities of the devotee is daksha. Daksha means expert. We're very expert. We're very expert at putting everyone down, but very subtly. So others don't recognize that we're doing it. But we're very good at it. We've got it down now. We're expert. We know how to do it. We've been practicing this for lifetimes. And now we've like perfected the art. Right? We do it so subtly that it doesn't even look like we're doing it. Right? And we still appear like we're all pure and humble and everything. But we actually just want to just kind of slowly put everyone just out to the side like that. So I become the one who's recognized like that. So this is defamation of the devotee. So don't defame devotees. Next one is do not cheat devotees. Right, this is the nature of Kali Yuga. Prabhupada says cheaters and the cheated. Don't cheat the devotees. Don't try to cheat devotees. Why? Because has anyone heard of the Bhagavad Gita? Right? In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, what does he say about cheating? There's one line in one of the shlokas in the Bhagavad Gita. Yeah. He says, of the cheaters, I am the cheat. Who's the best at it? Who's the best cheater in creation? Right? He's holding the flute. Right? He's just standing just over there. He is the best. He has some friends who are also very good. They're always... His best friend, who is standing with him, she's also very good at cheating. They're constantly, there's always competitions going on, back and forth. Right? Sometimes he dominates, sometimes she dominates. They're very good. So he is very good at cheating like that. So the point is, if you start trying to cheat Krishna's devotees, what does Krishna do to you? He cheats you. He says, oh, you're trying to be smarter than my devotees? You're trying to cheat my devotees? Okay. Happens to me all the time. You know, when I get proud, which is a lot of the time, you know, that's my constitutional position, to be proud. So when I get proud, then you know Krishna just goes, oh, you're getting proud now. Just your carpet you're standing on, he just goes, well, that just pulls it and you just go, fall over. So this is the position. If we try to cheat Krishna's devotees, right, then Krishna will cheat us immediately. So don't defame the devotees, don't cheat them. And the next one is don't curse them. Right? Do not curse the devotees. Cursing is very heavy, actually. To speak very strong, heavy curse. Sometimes, as we said previously, sometimes the senior devotees have to speak very strong, very forcefully to us. They have to wake us up, to bring us back to our senses. Like that. Sometimes devotees have to hit us very hard. It is said that a sadhu means one who cuts. So when a sadhu speaks to us, he cuts us like that. So that is the position of a saintly person. He cuts us, hits us very hard. So sometimes these senior devotees have to speak like that. But in general, we should not speak these kind of words to devotee. What is the difference? Because when a senior devotee is correcting you and he speaks forcefully to you, he's doing that for your benefit. Right? But when we speak to someone very forcefully out of malice, envy, or pride, you know, we speak very forcefully to another devotee, especially when we're not in the position to speak to a devotee like that, and it's motivated by envy of that person, then that's like a curse. That's that's an aparad. That's an offence. So you have to be very careful about speaking to the other, how you speak to the other devotees. Be very careful about that. Next one is, do not disturb the devotees. Now this is hard not to do, because if you read the Bhagavad Gita, if you go back to Canto 1, Chapter 1, is it verse 10 or verse 11, where it speaks about the symptoms of Kali Yuga? Do you remember? It's verse 10 or 11 in Chapter 1. Canto 1. Chapter 1. was it, either 10 or 11 saying? It's not 10 or 11. Okay, that's good. I have to start reading more. I'm not going chapter 2, so. Chapter 2. Okay, chapter 1. Yeah, it's number 10. Okay. Manda sumanda matayu. Like that. So it is number 10, verse 10 of chapter 1. Like that. O learned one, in this iron age of Kali, men and women, right, have short lives. That is all of us. We won't live for very long. This is a point you have to understand very quickly. This is how you advance in Krishna consciousness. You advance in Krishna consciousness when you become fearful of death. Right? When you understand you haven't got much time, that's when you start to advance. When you think you've got a lot of time, you waste it. But when you understand there's not long to go, just like Gandharvika Matiji, she's only got a few days now. Time is short, like that. Any of us can be next. Prabhupada said, I will die today, you will die tomorrow, and he will die the next day. Like that. That is the nature of this material world. So when you get into that consciousness and you understand we're all going to die soon, then you stop wasting time, you become sober. Because our lives are not very long. And Kali, that's the good thing about Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga is the best age because you haven't got very long. When you're having, like I know myself, when I've got a long time to do something, I just kind of space out and I take time. But when I haven't got time to do something, I really focus, I get it done. So in Kali Yuga, when you get this realization, I haven't got long to go, that's when you really start making advancement. Because you understand I'm going to die soon. So you have to get to that. So people have short lives, they are quarrelsome. That's Kali Yuga, quarrelsome. Lazy, misguided, unlucky, and above all, always disturbed. Kali Yuga key? Lazy. This is Kali Yuga, everyone's lazy. Misguided. Unlucky. Causing. But above all, always disturbed. So, it says here, don't disturb devotees. Why does it say that? Because everyone's already disturbed already. So don't make it worse for everyone. Just like one time, Prabhupada was going for a morning walk through a zoo and there was a lion behind the cage. So some of Prabhupada's disciples, the young disciples, they were teasing the lion. Right? And the lion was becoming more angry because it's the nature of a lion. He's very powerful. So they were teasing him. He's becoming more angry. Prabhupada said, don't tease him. Don't tease him. Don't disturb him unnecessarily. So that's the nature of Kali Yuga. We're all already disturbed, so don't make it worse. Right? Devotees are already struggling to become Krishna conscious. It's not easy. Now, hands up if you find becoming Krishna conscious easy. You can say if you want, because some people will. All the young devotees probably do. If you've been a devotee for 2 years, it's easy. What's the problem? Like that. But if you're around longer, then it becomes more difficult. Hands up if you find it easy to become a devotee. Become Krishna conscious. Like everyone says, it's not easy. Right? It's not easy to become a devotee. So everyone's already finding it difficult, so don't make it more difficult. Don't disturb the devotees. Right? Assist the devotees. Serve the devotees. Right? Make the devotees' life easier to reach Krishna. That is your only purpose for being in this world. You don't have any other purpose for being in this world than to bring others to Krishna who are ignorant and those who are already in touch with Krishna, make their life easier to get to Krishna. Help them get back to Krishna. That is the only purpose we're here. That's our only purpose. And if you do that, it's guaranteed Krishna will take you back to the spiritual world. Guaranteed. If you dedicate your whole life just to serving the devotees in ISKCON and making sure that everyone, you make their lives easier and easier to get back to Krishna, then Krishna will just take you back. That's automatic. Because Krishna says, oh, you've done so much service. What does Krishna say at the end of the Bhagavad Gita? The one who is most dear to me is the one who explains all this to others. Everything that I've just said, right? If you explain that to another person, you're the most dear person to me. So if we help the devotees get back, so we just have to serve the devotees. That's all. Actually, Lord Chaitanya's mission is only based on three principles, which is mentioned in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. Now, what are the three principles of Lord Chaitanya's mission?
Humility.
Humility, very good. But it's not specifically humility.
Harikata.
Yeah, harikata, that's good. That's not specifically what is mentioned, but it's good. What are the three?
Vaishnava
Seva. Very good. Vaishnava Seva. Nama Ruchi. And? Jiva. Daya. Very good. These three. Lord Chaitanya's whole mission is in those three, right? Vaishnav Seva. Vaishnav Seva means serving the devotees. What are you doing for the devotees? What service are you doing? It has to be practical. Do practical service for the devotees. Don't just do lip service. Oh, Prabhuji, you are so nice. Oh, Prabhuji, you are my Prabhu. Do something practical. Serve the devotees. Vaishnav Seva. Nama Ruchi. Nama Ruchi means taste for the holy name. Right? What is the quality of a devotee? He likes to serve other devotees and he has taste for chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. How do you get taste for chanting the Hare Krishna mantra? By serving the devotees. If you don't serve the devotees, you won't get any taste. Right? If you haven't got taste for chanting, that means you're not doing enough service for the devotees. Because if you do service for the devotees, you will get taste for chanting. So if you're lacking taste, that means you're not doing enough service for the devotees. Not serving them purely. And then the third quality is jivadoya. Jivadoya means you have to give mercy to the conditioned souls. It is your responsibility to give mercy to the conditioned souls, to take them back to Godhead. The Lord Chaitanya says, everyone who was born in India, anyone here from India? Right. Everyone who is born in India, it is their duty, right, to deliver everyone else on the planet. So you have to look after us. We are at your mercy, like that. But actually, if you're initiated in ISKCON, right, you're no longer a conditioned soul. You've become Jivan Mukta. You've become liberated. So anyone who is initiated in ISKCON, it is their duty to deliver all the other conditioned souls. That's Lord Chaitanya's mission, just those three things. So it says here, don't disturb the devotees. Don't defame them, don't cheat them, don't curse them, don't disturb them. Next one is neglect. Don't neglect devotees. This is the worst thing. Right? This is the worst thing. When devotees are struggling in Krishna consciousness and people don't reach out to help them. That's the worst thing. I know many devotees who are struggling in Krishna consciousness, and people are not reaching out to them. So what is the position of our heart? Our heart is not soft. Rupa Goswami says, you cannot advance in Krishna consciousness until the heart becomes soft. The Bhagavatam says that if your heart is hard, you'll never get a taste for chanting the holy name. Right? One whose heart is steel framed, right, has a hard heart, right, doesn't care about others, you don't ever get a taste for chanting. So we have to become soft-hearted. When the heart is soft, then you'll reach out, you'll try to help the other devotees. It's a whole service, actually, just helping those who are struggling. It takes a lot of energy. But some of us have to do it, like that. You have to become a strong swimmer. Just like in Australia, we have lifeguards. It's a very big sport in Australia. It's not just a sport, it's a necessity. Because in Australia is just surrounded by ocean, so everyone goes swimming. So what's the lifeguard's duty? To save and protect those who are drowning. What does that mean? They have to be strong swimmers. Right? They're not strong, how can they help anyone else? So you have to stay strong in Krishna consciousness. Why? So you can help others, that's the point. If you're not strong, you can't help everyone else. Because it takes a lot of energy to maintain all the other devotees in Kali Yuga. Just like I come out of the forest once a week. Come out of the forest, I travel back to the city, and then I come and I say to all the devotees, how are you? How are you? How are you? How are you? And 90% of the time, maybe not 90, but 50% of the time, devotees say, oh, I've got this problem, I've got that problem, I've got that problem, I've got that problem. Everyone's got so many problems. Like that. So you have to keep yourself strong in Krishna consciousness so you can help the other devotees, so you can lift them up, right, until they become strong swimmers themselves. And then they can begin to help more devotees themselves. So you have to remain strong in Krishna consciousness. But you have to know how much you can take also. Right? Don't take so much from everyone else's problems that you just start to sink and drown. You have to protect yourself in Krishna consciousness. Alright, so then, the last one, right, after we've stopped defaming, cheating, cursing, disturbing and neglecting devotees, right, then please do not kill devotees. Right? Don't kill a devotee. Right? It's not auspicious. Please don't do it. I know sometimes you feel like doing it. But please do not do it. Especially when you're married, I know. Sometimes you feel like you want to kill the husband or the wife. I know you feel like that, but don't do it. Please don't do it. Like that. Bhakti Vijayapurnama, I was just giving a lecture one time, and he was saying, you know, that's Grihastha Ashram. Grihastha Ashram means the plates are flying, or the pots are flying, or something like that. But just make sure you aim just slightly to the... You know, if you're going to throw a plate, just... Don't kill the devotee like that. Please. Just a humble request. The Bhagavad Gita says, please don't kill them. Like that. You know, break the crockery in the house, but don't kill the devotee, please. So, now it mentions here that although the devotees get treated like this, they get defamed, cheated, cursed, disturbed, neglected, and killed, but they never try to avenge themselves. So this is a very high state of consciousness. Right? A very high state of consciousness. You don't try to avenge yourself. Because what is the symptom of the mode of passion? Symptom of the mode of passion, Rajagun, is as soon as someone criticizes us, what do we do? Yeah, we say, but what about you? What about you? As soon as you see that, sometimes we do that. I do it myself sometimes. You know, someone says something about me, or to me, and I say, what about you? Yeah. You do it. Right? Someone comes up to me and says, you eat too many sweets. And I say, what about you? I saw you eat 8 gulabs. Huh? I saw you eat 9 gulabs. What about you? Like that. So that's a mode of passion. Right? But those who are advanced in Krishna consciousness, they don't retaliate. Because their consciousness is very high. They're above this world. So they don't become absorbed in just the petty feelings in this world, just going back and forth and criticizing. Because the point in the material world is people are always going to criticize you. That's the nature of the material world. Just people are always going to do it. Just like yesterday, if I think yesterday, how many times people criticize me, you know, it's just... It happens. It happens multiple times. You know, I was having a discussion with someone. I went to them and said something, and then they said something back to me, and then they criticize. It's just the nature of the world. But you have to learn not to respond. You have to learn to actually think humbly of yourself, or you have to think that yes, I have faults. You have to accept all of us have faults, and if someone's pointing something out, then it must be true. Right? It may not be as true as what they're saying, right? But there must be something there. You know, someone said something to me yesterday. They said, "Oh, you're like this," and then when I went away later, I thought about it. I thought, "Yeah, that's true. I am like that." So we have to accept that we have defects within our consciousness. So a devotee does not retaliate. This means an advanced devotee, right? And if you look at the Bhagavatam, one of the main points in the Bhagavatam is Vaishnava Aparad. Don't offend devotees. But then if you see all the way through the Bhagavatam, when the devotees do get offended, how do they respond? Like, what is the... Some excellent examples, like perfect examples. You look at the end of the sixth canto, right, of Ritrasura, right, gets... or before he's Ritrasura, he gets cursed by Parvati, Chitraketu. Gets cursed by Parvati. What does he do? Right, he's flying in his plane, like around the universe. It's a very funny pastime, actually, like that. Very humorous pastime. He's flying in his plane around the universe. It's kind of like a garden, like city, you know, just hovering around. And he's flying over the side of Mount Kailas, and he looks down, and Lord Shiva's there giving Bhagavatam class, right? and his wife is sitting on his knee. You know, imagine like Nanda's giving class and Swarup's just like sitting there. Like that. Like if you walked in, like everyone would just go. Yeah. It's quite a humorous. You know, Rani Ritapuru sitting there and Chitramura is just sitting there on the lap. Like it's funny. Right? So then Chitraketu flies over and he looks down and he laughs. He looks at Lord Shiva and he laughs because they're both pure devotees. That's the point. Parvati missed the point. They're both pure devotees. So he looks down and he smiles and Shiva looks up at him and Shiva smiles, right? And Chitraketu, like, he didn't even have to say anything. Like, he knew what he was thinking. Chitraketu was thinking, look at you. You're sitting there speaking on the Bhagavatam, your wife's sitting on your knee. Right? And then he looks up at him and he goes, look at you. You're flying around the universe and the, you know, cosmic garden, you know, with girls all around you, right? And you're just flying around. But he was just completely absorbed in hearing and chanting about Krishna, right? And so was Shiva. They were both beyond this world, but Parvati didn't like it. Sometimes the wife gets like this. You know, the husband gets insulted, the wife's like, right, ready to, you know, burn to ashes. Shiva, right? Then he looks up, he just smiles, and then Parvati says, you know, because you have insulted Shiva, you will, right? And she curses Chitraketu. So what does Chitraketu do? This is the amazing part of the pastime, right? Because Chitraketu could have counter-cursed, which is what happened back in Canto 4. Right? Canto 4, you know, Daksha insulted Shiva, right? And then Shiva's followers, they started, and then Daksha's followers, Griga and everyone, they all started back. And then it just turned into a huge mess, right? And then half the universe got, you know, it just turned into like a huge mess. This is the nature of anger. This is one point you have to understand. Anger gets fed by anger. When someone's angry, how do you make them more angry? Right? You just respond with anger. And it's just like you're throwing fuel on the fire and the whole thing just goes like that. The best way to deal with anger is just to defuse it. Just defuse it. A good way to do it, if you're expert enough, is to use humour. You have to be very careful with that as well. Doesn't always work. Sometimes it does. Sometimes it's very good. You can just defuse the whole thing. But other times it doesn't work. It just escalates. So Chitraketu, he got cursed by Parvati. And then what did he do? He came down and he parked the cosmic garden. You know, just flew down. He got off. Right, and he walked over and he got down on his hands and knees and he bowed down and he said, thank you for cursing me. He said, I've acted improperly. Right? I've insulted your husband, a pure Vaishnava. Vaishnavanam Yatashambhu, the greatest devotee. Thank you for cursing me. And he understood this curse as a way for him to get out of the material world. She said, you will become a demon. So he became Vritrasura. He understood that was just a way for him to get out. So he was in ecstasy. So that's how we should be. You know, if you study the Bhagavatam, that's how we should be. When we're getting insulted, we should just get down on our hands and knees. We say, thank you so much for deflating my false ego, for making me more humble. That's the way. We never do that, but that's what we should be doing. That should be our consciousness. And you see in the next canto, in Canto 7, how does Prahlad act? Right? Prahlad is being tortured by his father. Right? Does he ever complain once? Right? The highest insults, like the sixth level, as it says in this verse, he's trying to be killed by his father. And he's a saint. Right? And does he ever once respond? Does he ever once say, why are you doing this? Or, you know, you should not be treating me like this, right? Just tolerates the whole thing. And actually tonight, in our Bhakti Vedanta course, tonight Nisringadeva appears. The culmination of the pastime. Hiranyakashipu goes way too far. Where is your God? You know, where is he? Right? And then smashes the pillar. And then this cosmic sound vibration comes out of the pillar.
right? And all the demons, they just look around, what was that? You know, and suddenly this person steps out of the pillar, right? And he is anger personified. No. Burjumper pointed this out many years ago when he was giving a class. He said, we get angry, it's not a big deal when we get angry. Most of the time when we get angry, everyone else is just like looking at us just going, like, oh, what's that about? Yeah. It's like one time Peter Burwash, he's a devotee, he was telling a story. And he said that he was in a hotel and they had lost a man's luggage. You know, they're bringing it down from the room, big hotel, they're bringing it down, they lost his luggage. So he was there and there was people all around and he was getting very infuriated with the lady behind the counter. So he was saying, you know, where is my luggage? And like this, like, and she stayed very calm and she said, sir, there's only two people in this whole room, you know, this whole foyer, there's lots of hundreds of people there. He said, there's only two people who are interested in finding your luggage, and one of them is losing interest very quickly. Like that. So he just went, oh, and just calmed down. So when we get anger, it's not a big deal. Right? But when Krishna gets angry, right, then that changes things. The Sringadeva steps out and then suddenly that's a personification of anger. It's so powerful. Okay. So basically we should avoid Vaishnava Aparad. That's a basic principle which has been mentioned here. So two things are there. We should avoid Vaishnava Aparad. And secondly, when we do get offended ourselves, we should learn to tolerate it, right? Transcend it, right? See it for what it is. It's not such a big deal. We get so upset about things, but it's not such a big deal. You know, if you found out you're going to die tomorrow, everything becomes very petty. All the things that we worry about all the time, they're not so important. So we'll stop there and we'll see if there are any questions or comments on what we have discussed. Revenge. You know revenge? Yeah, same thing. Avenge, revenge. Revenge. Like at Christmas time, sometime I go over and see my family at Christmas. We have like family get together, like our tradition. And sometimes, because it's summertime, so we have water fights. Right? So we all get like the water guns and we all run around the house, right? And our bathers shooting each other. So you run around the corner and someone hits you in the face with the water and then you want revenge. So you chase them all around the house to get them back. Like that. So that is revenge. You want to get the person back. Like that. So when a devotee gets offended, then we should not want revenge. Avenge ourselves. I have to get this person back. I will embarrass them in front of everyone. I will wait till they're in the public eye and then I will. Like that. That's demoniac consciousness. Krishna speaks about it in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 16. Divine and demoniac consciousness. The demons always want to get everyone back. But a devotee, he's humble, he understands. We have to practice these things. They're easy to speak about it, but it's hard to practice it. That's it. Any other question? Comment? Yeah, he's always in your heart.
So,
yeah.
He's already sitting in his speech as Paramatma. So what's the difference between Krishna sitting on the throne of the heart? So he's already sitting within the heart.
Yeah, well, Lord Chaitanya teaches in his pastimes, in the cleansing of the Gundicha Marjana pastime, Krishna is in our heart as Supersoul, but he is not manifest in the sense that we cannot see him or perceive him at this point in time. You never see the Supersoul. You know, you close your eyes and meditate, but you don't get any perception of the Supersoul. Why is that? Because there's so many impurities. But when you become more elevated, more pure, then Krishna begins to manifest within the consciousness. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually says in the there's one book that he wrote, like a small book, might be Krishna Bhajanamrita maybe. No, I think it's called Namhata, like that. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes that in the marketplace of the holy name, in order to purchase, when we're chanting, right, how does our chanting evolve or develop? Or how do we get deeper realization when we're chanting? When our faith develops. So when our shraddha, or our faith, goes up to the level of nishta, which means the anattas are greatly destroyed, at that time, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, you purchase the form. At the moment we have nam, that's given to us, right? You get hari nam, right? But from nama comes rupa, comes guna, comes lila. So when we get to the platform of when the anattas are mainly gone from our heart, then we purchase rupa. In other words, Krishna's form becomes manifest in our consciousness to a degree. It's not the original form, but we can begin to meditate on his form more easily. So when your heart becomes more pure, then Krishna becomes manifest. Like that. He's already there, but it's like you're sitting in your car, but your windows are so dirty, you can't see what's outside. So as the windows become more clean, cheto, dapana, marjanam, as you clean the windows, then you can see what's there. So Krishna could be right on the other side of your door, but you wouldn't even know. So when you clean things, then you can see Krishna. So Krishna's there, but you have to clean things so that you can perceive him. So, any other question? Comment?
You said that we are hard-hearted, we don't have ruchi in chanting holy name. So, if someone doesn't have ruchi in chanting holy name, how is chanting will soften his heart?
So it means by the process, like Lord Chaitanya has given us the process or the secret. So the secret is Vaishnava Seva. When you serve Vaishnavas, the heart will become soft. When the heart becomes soft, you develop Nama Ruchi. So that's the process. So if your heart is hard, what does it mean to have a hard heart? It means you're egocentric, right? So you have to develop an awareness and a desire to serve others. That's what Krishna consciousness is about. That's what bhakti is about. So when you do that, the heart softens. And when the heart becomes softer through jiva doya, through Vaishnava seva, then you develop namaruchi. That's the point. You want to add anything? Is that okay?
So you need to say it's not only chanting, but comprehensive whole process is helping.
Yeah, of course. How advanced do you think you'll get from chanting? Sit in the temple room and chant all day to see how far you get. Most of us can't even do it. Most of us struggle with 16 rounds. Most of us find it hard to stay awake in the Bhagavad Gita class. Most of us find it hard to stay awake while we're chanting our rounds. So how are you going to just sit in the temple and just chant? Right, in the Gaudiya Math, it was expected that everyone would chant, but then they had to go and preach also. That was the and ISKCON's the same, because ISKCON's model of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's model for the Gaudiya Math, Prabhupada took that and then he made that into ISKCON, right? So the standard in the Gaudiya Math was that you're meant to chant and then go and do preaching. So then one devotee joined, right, and he became known as Akinchana Krishna Das Babaji. He turned into a Babaji, right? So he joined and all he would do was chant 300,000 names a day, 2 lakhs, 3 lakhs a day. That's all he did, just chanting to him. So the other devotees got disturbed. He's just sitting there chanting all day. We're doing all the service, we're doing the preaching, we're cleaning the temple, doing everything. So they came to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and they said to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they said, he's just chanting all the time. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, you sit down with him, and you just chant with him all day. Right? So a few of them did. They went and just sat down, and they couldn't do it. He had Nam Ruchi, that's why he could do it. So Bhakti Siddhanta, he said, that is his service. Right? But for the rest of us, we don't have that level of purification. that we can just chant, right? So therefore, for our heart to become soft, we have to do Vaishnav Seva, we have to do Jiva Doya. Right? You have to cook for crossways, right? You have to clean the temple, right? You have to go and run urban yoga. You have to do different. You have to do so many other sevas, right? And all those sevas, they enhance your chanting. I know for myself, like when I chant, if I'm surrendering, right, and doing my service, and really trying to push this movement forward and help the devotees and look after Krishna's devotees and do my service properly, I get taste when I chant. But if my service attitude is not correct, you can chant, but there's no taste. So, is that okay? Anything else? No. Any other questions? Comments? Because you're finding it hard, and then when they come, you don't tell the new people that it's a struggle. You don't tell them. You might be struggling, but that doesn't mean you say to them it's a struggle.
But it's not like lying. It's not like kind of being completely honest. Like, I mean, it's just something that I'm not saying quite yet. But so you can't be up since 3:10 in the morning. You know that.
No, there's two types of lies. One's a white lie. Right? And one's a black lie. Right? So this one's a white lie. They come to you and they say, what is it like being a Hare Krishna? You say, it's ecstatic. It's blissful. It's the best thing you can do with your life. Right? And you go out the back in the kitchen and you go, right? So is that good? Yeah, but then is that good for them or is that bad for them?
No, that's not good.
Yeah, so it's a white lie. Okay, but you have to do it. You have to, like, if you know, all the crazy stuff going on in your mind, right? If you start telling everyone about that, no one will ever become a Hare Krishna. So you don't tell them all that stuff. How's that going to help them? You're a doctor, right? When you join this movement, you become a doctor. They're all patients, right? So now the doctors are patients as well, right? Even though we're doctors, but we've still got our problems. I go to my doctor. Now, I've got a doctor around the corner here, Tamsin. She's been my doctor for 10 years. Like, we've got a nice relationship, very, very nice person. So, recently one of her family members died because I went to see her and she wasn't available. And they said, oh, one of her family members. So I came back a couple of weeks later to see her. And I said to her, when I got there, I said, how are you? And I heard something happened. And I could see she was upset because, you know, someone had just died in her family. But because she's a doctor, she said, I'm okay. And then she just got on with the consultation. Like that. So we're doctors, you know, and they're patients. We have to help them. So you don't give them all your problems. Patients don't come and you say, oh, yeah, I've got all these problems. Like, then how are you going to help the patients? Right? If you're a doctor, the doctors have problems as well. So then you have to go to the higher doctors. Right? The doctors are above you. You go to them and say, you know, I'm doing all this, helping these people, but I've got my own problems. They say, okay, we'll help you. Right. And then the higher doctors, they have to go to the higher doctors. They have to go to the higher. And then at the end, you get to the highest doctor. Right? And that's the highest doctor. Right? One time, the devotee wrote to Prabhupada, and the devotee said, Prabhupada, I have so many problems. Prabhupada wrote back. He said, put all your problems in front of me, and in one kick, I will remove all of them. That's it. So if you've got problems, then associate with Prabhupada more. That's what I'm doing. I've got problems in my life. You know, I just sit down, put the little DVD on, and just sit there and watch Prabhupada, and suddenly, no more problems. Just me and Prabhupada. Where's the problems? Like that. Don't answer the phone. You know, don't check the internet. Just, that's it. Just be with Prabhupada. So if you're with Prabhupada all the time, your consciousness, then you don't have problems. Any other questions, comments?
For the answer, I also heard one time. Yeah, if you have a write down.
If you got one.
Chanting, if you think of some problem, write down, and then keep on chanting. Then those problems will certainly be increased in them.
Anything else? Okay, Srila Prabhupada, key.
last name is very good.
Do you like it?
Yeah. Yeah. First time I heard there'd be a tree in the back.
Yeah. Most of the writers don't know this.
Yeah, so. Most of them. I was talking, they said,
yeah, indeed. Next week I think we'll do one on Prasad.
I'm giving up my practice. 27th, 2 weeks or so.
That's it.
All Prabhupada said, 100%.
Retire.
To please Prabhupada.
Okay.
I want you, your blessing.
Already there.
Thank you. My Guru Maharaj said the same thing.
Yeah.
Please help me in Prabhupada's mission. That's the only thing he had asked me in so many years.